Hallelujah. Thank you, body of Christ, for coming, showing up on a nice, cool morning. Hallelujah. And it was a little cool this morning. All right. So Jesus is the answer for anything that you are struggling with, right? Can I get some agreement here? Jesus is the answer for anything that you're struggling with. All right, okay, we got a couple going. We're having an opportunity to have Prophet Dave Wagner here for 5 days, and we're going to go through a school of the supernatural move of the Spirit in the prophetic. And if that is you and you're wanting to get involved in that, that's going to happen the 20th to the 24th. It'll start at 5 o'clock on Tuesday night. And it'll start each night from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have it from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. This will be so extensive in understanding the prophetic, but maybe not so much understanding it in teaching, actually experiencing it. And I know that Dave Wagner, that's what he's going to be bringing. So if that's you and you're wanting to sign up, we're looking for numbers. What we're shooting for is 50, and we've got a bunch of people coming from different places. But if that's you and you're wanting to sign up, it's going to run $250. There's six meals and about 60 pages of information that is going to be shared throughout that time with Dave. And also, we will not be receiving offerings at that time because that'll take care of everything. So if that's you and you're wanting to get involved in that, if you're saying, well, I'm working, I can't make it because I work until 5:30, I'm trying to cut that excuse off, that we will be, and I'm going to be talking with Jeremy, we're going to be putting something together. So if it's an hour and a half that you need that and you're wanting to be a part of it, we'll get information, DVD or CD, whatever. We'll put it on, and so that you'll have that information. All right? And here, Linda, look at here, you already signed it, so you can pass that on. Anyone that's wanting to, because we're looking for the number, and because we're going to have to supply the food and also the material, we have to put together 60 pages for each person. So, all right. So, that's good. I'm waiting in a great way. Prophetic word. Does everyone have the prophetic word that Dave Wagner gave to the nations for this year? Okay, how many people want it and don't have it? Okay, want it and don't have it. Ladies, did you get it? You don't want it? All right. Okay, so I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I like them girls. That's my special group there. Well, anyway, so I think this is real important prophetically what God is saying. Of course, Dave Wagner is one among maybe thousands of prophetic voices on the earth. But I've been finding out whether you be a person that is laboring in the church in any way, shape, or form, you're needing a prophetic word. Amen. To keep you going, to send you off into what you're doing and to keep your heart stirred up in that. And so David has been with us. That involves, in his relationship, it starts involving a lot of other relationships like Heidi Baker, I'm trying to think, Clark, is it James Clark? No, Randy Clark. Leif Hedlund. So it starts involving a lot of other people so we can get Daniel Hudeling out of Kansas City. We're gathering something so that we can impact the world that we live in. Not only our church here or our church in Bedette, but churches all over the world, okay? And I found out, and it's been good, conferences, what happens, it grabs you, you're excited, We're going to do it. Hallelujah. But then it leaves us, and really you got just a sliver of what that person is really all about and what he's putting into the earth for what we need in the time that we're living in. I think 2018, with the prophetic word that Dave Wagner gave to the nations and to the world, I think it's very powerful. I think when you read it, it'll affect you and affect your family and affect everything around you. So consider when you read something that this is what God is saying, right? Or David has just had a great dream, and that dream, he wrote it down, so we got one from David, or did we get it from God? And we have to make sure that we're getting it from God. Of course, we can check that out with reading the Word, right? Read the Bible. Wow, that's just like the Bible. That's just, wow, God, you're speaking to me through the Bible. And when prophetic voices come, or apostolic voices, or pastoral voices, or all authorities that God has placed on the earth is for our benefit, and hopefully that they've heard from God, right? Right? I mean, you want to hear from God. Well, then, if you heard from God, like if you had this epiphany about God, and he come and spoke to you personally, you'd be going, wow. And other people might not be excited about it, but I heard God. Okay? So when you hear God, you get so excited, right? And so I get excited when I hear there's opportunities that we can open up new places, new regions, new areas to affect them in a godly way, that they would hear the word of the Lord instead of hearing all of the kingdoms of this earth, and there's a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of them. And sometimes I say, you know, it's hard to fight so many different other kingdoms, so then we stop fighting and we just serve the king in the kingdom of God. All right? We don't have to fight everything else. They're going away. They're going to be fading away. You know, they're not an eternal kingdom. God's kingdom is eternal. And when we accept that and hear from that, we're going to be a unique people that people are going to want to hear from. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am unique. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I am unique. You have to do it to your neighbor, not just, there you go, not just out there in the deal. You're a unique people because God has spoke to you, right? All right, a couple guys believe it. I like that. It's a good start. We're two or three gathered together. Praise God. So anyway, I'm always kind of saying, well, God, what do we really need? And can we get it today? Not tomorrow, but today. I want to hear, God, I want to hear what you are saying today, the message you have for us today. And that almost maybe seems like, well, do you think that God's got enough time to deal with you and your messages? Well, of course he does. And surprising enough, when you start looking at throughout the earth, you'll start finding out that God speaks to you, and then God speaks to another person in another country, in another place, in another, not another time, well, yeah, in another time zone. And all of a sudden, you're seeing that God's speaking the same thing to the whole earth.
Amen.
This thing is not out of control. God is not out of control. He has everything in the palm of his hand. He has everything in the wisdom and the knowledge of who he is, and he has that for us. Amen? And so I was thinking about principles. Principles are pretty important, right? You know, and they've written books about principles of God, and they've actually got whole books about principles of God. So I'm not going to go through the whole aspect of every principle that God has. But I said, give me the big picture at least. I know inside of a house, it has maybe three or four sinks. It has three or four toilets. It has three or four couches or two. It has beds in it. I know that. So God, what in the big picture, that's the house. I understand that. But what's the big picture of what you're trying to show that we can do this in 15 minutes and you're going to go away saying something? We could go for 45, but I don't think any of us will hold the attention that long. Lisa, that's what I've been hearing. But okay, so we got seven principles of the kingdom. So I wanted the seven principles to be this big, okay? So I'm going to, and I believe that these seven principles, if you would enact principles of God, I believe that it would cover every aspect of your life, spiritually and even in the natural. Okay, seven principles. The first principle, the principle of mercy. Reflect God's mercy. Reflect God's mercy. What was the very first thing that happened to us after we repented? Okay, we repented. Why did we repent? It's because we needed mercy. And God was merciful and he gave us his love or his mercy. You know, we just, God, I can't and I'm not. Please, Lord, forgive me. And so, was he merciful? Number one? All right, he was merciful. Say merciful.
Merciful.
So you got some mercy. Give me some mercy, Lord. Okay, you got your mercy. Okay? And so that's what God reflects. When we get his mercy, then we have to reflect back what we're all about. Secondly, it was the principle of love. Reflect God's love. Okay? Reflect God's love. Thirdly, was the principle of increase. How many people like to increase here? I like increase. Fourthly, the principle of faith. Reflect God as faithful and true. So your reflection, God is faithful and true. Number five, the principle of authority. Reflect God as Lord. Not someone else, not a dictator, but God as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. When we hear Lord, what does that mean? You got to catch it in the spirit, of course, which is a good place to be. And then we find out the principle of power. Reflect God as Almighty. So your reflection of who is God, he's Almighty. And what is that? Very powerful. God is very powerful. He's almighty. And number seven was the principle of unity. Reflect God as one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reflect that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You got the whole 10 yards, first down every time. Because that's who he is. We reflect the unity of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. Do you feel it? Shandarabasaraba. That's why he told us to do all of these things that are so radical to the natural mind, but it makes very, very much sense to the spiritual awakening inside of you. Amen? So we find out about these unity areas, and so I think that that's important. Anyone feel like these things are important for your life? Okay, so then let's talk about them just for a moment. We find out through forgiveness, or forgiving others, and being compassionate. Okay, you think about mercy. God showed his mercy. God showed his love. God. Now we have to take this out in shoe leather. Here's the shoes. This is the ones that I'll be wearing to walk this out. And so where is my compassion level? Where is my beings that he forgave us of all of our sins and all of our shortcomings? Now Jesus said, I just want you to do the same thing. Be compassionate. It's kind of a good place to be. I want to be compassionate. Hallelujah. And then we looked at the second one, through love for God, neighbors, and loving other believers with God's love, it starts changing everything around you. The love of God is contagious. Now, how many people want to be a Pharisee here? Sadducee? Ones that couldn't see? No one's raising their hands because no one wants to be that. But if you take where the Sadducees and the Pharisees were at, they really couldn't see. And they knew about God, they just didn't know God. And so we can go through teaching after teaching after teaching, but if we don't know God, it's just we know a lot about God. I know God loves me. I know God will do anything and everything, move heaven and earth for me. And you can know that, about that, but you sometimes could never, or maybe never experience it without grabbing a hold of things in the Holy Spirit. And so you have to have the love of God. Give me your love in my life. And what does love look like? I mean, Jesus showed an example from God what love looks like. And anything and anyone that was struggling in any way, shape, or form, Jesus will come. Jesus will come to them. Whether it is today, whether it is tomorrow, or whether it was yesterday, Jesus will come to them and show compassion, and he will love them with the love of the Father God, right? We start thinking about the love of God that passes all understanding. So now that's what's on the inside of us. I like that. Hallelujah. And so we now we had the seven principles, and we were working on number three was through generous giving of themselves and of their resources. That was increase. Okay, so when you increase, you save up your money, you put it in a can underneath your mattress, put everything in that can, put a lock on your mattress so no one can get it, and saying, I'm increasing, I'm increasing, I'm increasing. But God's not like that. God's heart is generous. Well, probably could be. He owns everything and made everything. But the heart of God is generosity. And when people see the heart of God through the believers, they say, wow, what a generous people. You know, generous with their love, with their compassion, with every aspect of what God is. You know, that's where you can get all of the principles that come from these areas. But just this area, will you love and will you have compassion and then will you be generous? That's a good question. Pastor Jim, he's talked about the difficulty when he found out that God was going to require a principle out of his life. And can I tell this story, Jim? It won't be much of one. I mean, it's a powerful testimony. But he struggled with bringing the tithe to the house of God. I mean, it was a struggle. And but yet, he kept with it, and he kept with it until God convinced him. He was not knowing about God. He was knowing God. Big difference, isn't it? When you know him, a principle applied and walked out works. A principle not so much denied, but given, said, yeah, I know about God, but don't do it. You're going to find out the other part of principles. Anyway, we're going to go on and we'll talk about that just a little bit. Okay, and so we have these principles that are being area of faith. We got resources through faith in God, his word, by living in a relationship of trust with him. When you trust God, something great's going to happen to you. When you're not trusting anyone else except God, and it's a good place to be because God will always bring you there anyway. You will not be able to live on planet Earth for a lifetime without you being challenged to trust God. When everything else has been taken from you that you could trust in, it boils down between you and God. I remember my son Jacob laying in a hospital room and they were prophesying all these bad things over his life and all the stuff that he was going to have and all of the struggle he's going to have. But you see what? That was not the voice of God. And I'm not against doctors, but I am against us believing everything until to the very end that we say, now I got to trust God. How about starting that place? And through your experience that you might have some shaky spots, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to trust him. And when we start doing these principles, we will get 50% of the principle fulfilled probably a week out. When I believed God that I was born again, it took about 3-4 weeks to figure out that I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. But you know, that wasn't very long, considering I'd run around for 26 years not knowing that. And God is God, if you will give him and trust in him and say, well, God, what are we going to do in this situation today? Hallelujah. That's a good deal. Okay, and then we talk about the authority of God and how the authority is supposed to bring us into submission to God. Okay? Authority brings us into submission. And it's many kingdoms throughout the earth that brings you into submission, whether you want to go there or not. It might be by intimidation, it might be by manipulation, it might be by the way your family used to do it, it might be your generational move, it might be your color, it might be what you believe. All those things, but those kingdoms don't count compared to the kingdom of God, right? So I'm going to trust in God, and we're going to see the abundance of God in his authority, submission on the earth. I submit my life to God. Lowell Lundstrom did not save me. Jesus Christ did. And then I don't have to make any excuses for other people's wrongs or rights or in-betweens for my life with God. Jesus Christ saved me. He redeemed me. My sins were taken away because of Jesus. All right? That's authority. And when you give that authority to him, he begins. You become that child of God that he said, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with you. All the prophetic words that are making. We need about five more of those prophetic words, Danny. The pages. Can you do that? I hate to take you out of the service, but I preached this to Danny yesterday, so had prayer meeting. So these things are very, very important as far as your submission to God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And he will fulfill these things in our lives. Praise God. Then through unity of relationship with God in prayer and worship with others in the body of Christ so that the kingdom of God can impact the world that we live in. It's so important that we have unity. And the unity does not come because we're getting together on Sunday morning and we have to endure one more sermon to get something to live through the week. That's not our God. We have to hear God apostolically. What that means, the first apostle on the earth was Jesus Christ. Well, it probably was God. But being God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all the same, they're the chief apostles, Linda. You don't get anybody. And what that means, they got a message for earth. You know, and what a powerful message. The birth, the prophecy of his birth, and all that was apostolic message from God. And apostolic just means a message. I could talk to Isaac, hey Isaac, could you go uptown and let's get 5 chickens so that we can eat them for dinner or something? That would be a message, not from God, that'd be a message from me to Isaac. But yet the meaning of apostolic is the same thing. But we have to realize where our messages come from. They come from God. We're looking for messages that come from God. Chicken is good. And me and Isaac probably do that sometime. Maybe not 5. It's not that good. So we have this messenger called God, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and then he's placed authority in all of our lives that we can unify around a message from God. You know, people saying, well, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm this, I'm that, that's fine. But they are all job descriptions. That's a description that God give them so that they could carry out their assignment on earth, right? I remember the first time somebody said, well, you're an apostle. In a prophetic word, I thought it was probably something, I didn't know if it was a handle on a sink or, you know, I mean, 4 or 5 months old in the Lord. But you know what? God remembered it. And he always brings it to my remembrance. And so then you have to start carrying out, well, what message am I bringing to the body of Christ? What message am I bringing to the world that I'm living in? And so here we are, and we're all responsible for these principles. Now, seven principles aren't so many, but you're going to be challenged in them, making sure that you're not a Pharisee or a Sadducee, you see, or a scribe. Okay, so then, now, oh boy, here we go. All right, I'm jumping on the galloping white horse. Okay, there is an enemy to every principle that God has. You would know that. So the evil one, an enemy of the evil one would come and he'd like to steal anything that God was going to give to you. So the enemy, opposition to these kingdom principles, and I call them the principles from hell, the enemy encouraged believers to live in the flesh rather than in the spirit and by the spirit. Refusing to forgive, refusing to hold on to a hurt or offense. Okay? That's the first one. That would go up to mercy. Okay? The enemy wants to do this, refusing to forgive, to hold on to hurts and to offenses. Secondly, placing focus on self instead of denying self to love, serve, and bless others. This is the message from the devil towards your calling of principles of faith. Thirdly, encouraging selfishness rather than giving generously of their life and substance. That's the principle of increase. Focus on reasons, feelings, and circumstance rather than on faith in God's word. Okay, that'd be number four. So focusing on those things will take away the principles that God wants to give you. Fostering independent, disobedient, and even rebellious attitudes at times. Fostering them. And so that one is really coming against authorities. God is an authority on the earth. I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not arguing with him. Say, God, you are the authority. Because I want to go on to number six was the power. The power is a depending on the Holy Spirit and revealing his power. When we depend on the Holy Spirit, yesterday we were in prayer meeting, and sometimes you get in a prayer meeting and you're praying and there's not much power there, but we increase the power of the Holy Spirit by what? Saying, I am serious about this. And we were talking about some type of sickness that was going on. Oh, it was about the flus with the kids. Right now, happening. 30-some kids have died in the United States through these flus. Okay, so here's our prayer. Lord, get rid of all them flus, cover them with everything that could be covered, and da, 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 da. But then all of a sudden, God kind of shook things up. In the name of Jesus, we come against that flu, those flus that want to destroy our children, and we even went national. Pastor Jim started praying, and he went national with it. We come against that flu over the United States of America, and in the name of Jesus, we take a complete authority over you. Be up and out. I'm sure our brothers from Liberia and sisters from Liberia, when the Ebola outbreak come, I'm sure there was prayers that were pretty powerful, huh? Pretty powerful. Because it's a reality that you could die. But the reality of God has to be greater. Because you could live. And you start praying prayers of power and authority like the Bible tells us to do. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. What? Availeth little? Much, much. Shandarabasarabasa. So these things, we know that we have an enemy to each one of these areas, depending on the natural ability rather than the anointing. And the last area was creating division. The enemy wants to create division. That's his deal. You know, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, unity. The enemy wants to create all of that, and that is the attack against the principles of God in your life. You didn't think you're going to get just by free. You're going to be challenged in these areas. And so in this thought, let's think about this. Let's meditate that God is in control today in our lives. And these principles, once we start using them, you'd say, well, you know, I've been doing it for so long. Why start now? Hey, start now. Now is the day of your salvation. Now is the day to apply this principle to your life so that you get the results now. If you haven't been tithing, now is the day to get a result. Well, I haven't done it. That's a whole nother deal about if you haven't tithed for 10 years, is there payment that you should make back? It'd be like owing someone a bill every year and not paying it. What is it called, Mary?
Restitution.
This, the principle of restitution. So if you rob God for 10 years, how much is that going to cost you? Restitution. Now, I think it's mercy. I'm going to mercy myself. I mean, I'm out of that. I mean, man, I'm out of it because if I went back to restitution, I'd be in trouble in so many different areas. It'd send me back to wherever I come from. You know, I mean, so you just have to forgive yourself. God forgives you. If you missed it along the way, first of all, receive His forgiveness. Forgive, receive His forgiveness. Ask, repent, and say, I'm getting back on the wagon. I'm getting back on the God area. And He's not going to hold you responsible. But you know what? God's big enough to pay restitution also. He's big enough. I've seen it. And some of you are called to messy jobs that you don't like, and you're going to complain and moan and groan about them, but that's where God's called you to. The mess. You know, toiletry, I do not like cleaning up the mess. But you know what? I shoveled pig crap and cow crap and every other crap on any animal for years, and it didn't seem to bother me. Human beings always bother me that way. I don't know why that is. But the fact is, if you've been called there, change the pants. If you've been called somewhere, do what needs to be done to get the job done, right? You know, and I do want to just lay this. Every person in a church should be actively doing something in that church, or there's something wrong with your thoughts. Okay? Principles of the kingdom sense out activity. You're active, active, active. So if you're looking for a call in your life, God's ready to call you. And He's ready to do it. And that's why the prophetic things are so important that we're zooming in on. Father, we thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for the principles of God. They're a yes and amen in everyone's life. God, we rebuke the devourer in any way, shape, or form. These seven areas of walking in the flesh, we refuse to do that. For holding up a selfie, self-righteous deal, God, we refuse to do that. We're not going to the principles of hell. We have the principles of heaven. And when we apply those principles, the glory of God is going to fall on the body of Christ like we've never seen before, because these are principles to live by. Hey, God, when we live by them, the glory of God is going to begin to take over our lives. Come on. The glory of God is going to begin to take over our lives because we're living in the principles of God. I want to live a principle life. Hallelujah. I want to live a life that makes sense. God is a pattern God. He always moves in sequence. I believe the sequence of God are the principles of God. When you apply a principle, you receive what the principle is supposed to bring forth. So, Father, I ask for every area of these principles to begin to take over each one of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Anyone that's needing prayer after this service, you can come up for prayer. If there's any area that you're wanting to not so much reveal to us, but we pray, and I just believe that God can start moving in that area. Prayer is a very, very powerful force. So God bless you. May the Lord be with you. May you have a wonderful, wonderful week in God. The Super Bowl is next Sunday. And it wasn't so super for the Minnesota fans, but you know what? We'll get over it. It's not our kingdom, amen? We have another king from another kingdom, yes. Oh, yeah. I am going to get some of you up here. Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it so very much. You can come and get your prophetic words that Dave laid out for the year. It's a real mind-boggling prophetic deal. About 19 minutes on... okay, here you go. I get to be the teacher here, too. Here you go, Darla. Bless you.